Today is Tuesday, October 11th. It is now 4:31 p.m. We will call this meeting to order. Today's Pledge of Allegiance and National Anthem will be performed by Champion Elementary and Ormond Beach Middle School. Following the National Anthem, we will continue to stand for a moment of silence and reflection. Please stand for the pledge.
We're proud to present the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Hi, I'm Ms. Amanda L. Shimmy. I'm the choir, theater, and dance teacher at Ormond Beach Middle School, and I present to you the 8th graders from our show choir here at Ormond Beach presenting the national anthem.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming. And the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled
Now we'll continue standing for a moment of silence. Thank you. You may be seated. Once again, welcome to Volusia County School Board meeting. Today is Tuesday, October 11th, 4:30 p.m. We want to thank our Champion Elementary School students for helping us with the Pledge of Allegiance, and also the choir at Ormond Beach Middle School. Thank you again. I want to introduce the folks who I have the pleasure of serving with here on the dais. We'll start on the right this time with our amazing agency clerk, Ms. Celeste Gilmore. Next to Ms. Gilmore, we have Mrs. Anita Burnett, representative for District 2. Mrs. Jamie Haynes' daughter is having a baby, likely as we speak, and so she is with her daughter where she needs to be, so she will not be here tonight. Ms. Haynes is not here, next to me, there we go. We have Dr. Carmen Balgobin, who is our superintendent of schools. Over to our left, we have Mr. Carl Persis, representative for District 4. Next to Mr. Persis, we have Mrs. Linda Cuthbert, representative for District 3. Next to Ms. Cuthbert, we have Mr. Wolf, who is our school board attorney. And my name is Ruben Colon, and I have the honor and pleasure of serving as a representative for District 5 and chairman for this year. Items for approval on this agenda are 1.03, 2.02, 4.01, 7.02, 16.01, and 16.02. There will be several times for public participation, including a time certain at 6 p.m. where we will listen to 15 minutes of public comment. In addition, there will be time before we approve the consent agenda and before any vote is taken on any board action item. Next item on the agenda, 1.02, District Vision Statement and Board Member Comments. During this time, we normally share great things that have happened since the last time we were here, and we'll start with Miss Burnett.
Thank you. Well, we've been a little limited in some of the great things. However, one of the best things was everything that Volusia County Schools staff did for our community. Just the outpouring of care that everyone put into opening our schools for shelters. And so I want to say a sincere thank you to everybody. You exceeded expectations. And Dr. B, thank you for your leadership. You kept us well informed throughout the whole process. So thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Persis.
Yeah, absolutely. That was the first thing I thought of. These are things that we wish never happen, but at the same time, we're always ready in the event that they do happen. We have a long history of providing shelters for our community, and we always do it well, and we did it again this time under the most adverse weather that we've had around here in a very long, long time. I'm particularly concerned about Dr. Balgobin, the number of our staff members, our employees who, lost everything. I mean, lost everything, lost their home, lost their car. We have many employees that are really down and out. And so it's not just, you just think of people have lost their home, but unless it's your family or a friend of yours, you may not know of others. But for us, we consider all of our employees our families. And so it does hurt us to know that we have so many that are in dire straits right now. But thank you for everyone that worked in those shelters. That's a lot of work, and there's not much sleep time when you work in the shelter. So I appreciate all the work that they put in. I also want to congratulate Champion and Ormond Beach Middle School for being the ones that kicked us off with today's meeting. Great job. So thank you, students, and your teachers for participating in our meeting this evening. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Cuthbert.
Good afternoon, everyone. October is the month for a lot of things. It's Hispanic Heritage Month. It's this is school lunch week. So I'll be working in three different schools in my district serving lunch. It's also Alpha Delta Kappa Month. Alpha Delta Kappa is an international sorority consisting of female educators. On November 6th, I'll be a member for 25 years. Oh. So it's quite a remarkable group of women who support education. And also, this is...
You can do it.
I can do this.
You can do it.
Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Thank you, Carol, for wearing pink. I'm wearing pink as one who has had cancer for 20 years, breast cancer twice, different diagnosis. I'll never be in remission. Please, please, always check everything out. I mean, even if it's a discoloration, if it's a bump, whatever it may be, please, and this is for men as well as for women, please always check it out. Because this time 2 years ago, I had just a strange feeling. I went to see my oncologist who said, I'll give you some antibiotics, but just in case, let's just do an ultrasound. Yeah. That I had just had a mammogram 5 months earlier, and darn if I didn't have a tumor, it was already stage 2. So because I just felt strange, I didn't hesitate to contact it. And because of that, I think if I'd let it go until I was due for another mammogram, I may not be here today. So I am greatly in much appreciation for our medical field. So if any CTE members from the Medical Academy are here. So thank you for all that you do in preparing all of us. And if you ever need a guest speaker, just let me know. Okay, thank you.
Mr. Wolf.
Nothing at this time.
Wonderful. And again, I want to echo our sentiments and gratitude to all of the teams, from Schoolway Cafe to our bus drivers to our operational units. You know, when a lot of us were able to be home, these folks were out there not only ensuring that our schools were ready for the storm, but also they were supporting our shelters. They were supporting getting folks in buses across the county to shelters. A lot of folks have no idea that our school district does that much to support our community during that time of need. And so, you know, while we do have, you know, a great partnership with the county, the bulk of that lift is the school district. And so, again, I want to thank everyone. And I also want to thank Dr. B for her leadership. And I don't just say that because it's cliche to say. You know, our district was actually the last district to return back to school of Central Florida districts. And it wasn't because we had more damage than Osceola or Seminole or any of the other districts. It was because Dr. B understood that it was important that we give our folks some time to make a plan, because we knew a lot of our folks had been affected by the storm. A lot of our families really had no idea what they were going to do. And so by making the announcement sooner rather than later, contrary to what some people thought was the right thing to do, Dr. B led with grace and respect, allowing that extra time for our family. So I do want to thank you for your leadership. It's already been mentioned, you kept us abreast of everything that was going on, and I am grateful to you for that. And I will stop. Dr. B.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Board. It's always a pleasure to work with such an incredible team. And it's part of my announcement, but I'm so, so, so proud of our staff. We have an incredible team here and our community. Thank you to all of you for your patience that you have exhibited. It's what makes Volusia County so strong. But again, I will talk more about that during my announcements. But I do want to share that right now we've got a team of individuals that's packing up their trucks, getting ready to be deployed to Lee County tomorrow. Our friends in Lee County are hurting, and they have announced a reopening of their schools for next Monday. So there's still a lot to be done. We're very grateful that Flagler sent a team here to assist ours with the cleanup, and we had Osceola on standby. So it's time to give a lending hand back again. So our team is packing up. We're going to be, I'll be out there 9 o'clock at Olson tomorrow to say farewell to the team. Pretty much, I'll tell you that what we're doing, we're sending two teams, four individuals on each team to help with trees, cutting, trimming, and removing debris. We've got three other team members of two on each team for diagnosis and repair. We're sending down a welder, a coordinator, and a supervisor. And I will tell you that in Lee County right now, there are no hotels available. So our folks will be staying at the Educational Board Center, basically, with their cots there. And they're ready. They're ready to go and help our friends and give them a lending hand. So that's what Volusia County is all about.
Yeah.
So I'm very proud of the team, and I wanted to say thank you.
Great. Yeah, let's give them a round of applause and safe travels.
We've done this before. About 4 years ago, a hurricane went into the panhandle. Not Bay County, but the county behind Bay, to the north of Bay. We sent two teams, trucks, and we had just bought a new generator, sent a generator up, and we made a path from their operational facility to their first elementary school, and we were able to create an evacuation building for those who lost their homes. They were gone a couple of weeks. So I'm very proud to be part of Volusia County Schools that has a history now of serving not just our own community, but communities across the state. So thank you.
Thank you. Next item on the agenda is approval of minutes. We have the minutes for September 27th regular session meeting. Those minutes have been posted. If not, I will entertain a motion to approve.
Mr. Chair, I move that we approve the minutes for September 27th.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Motion's been properly made by Ms. Cuthbert, seconded by Ms. Burnett. Any further discussion?
Yes. I just want to say, Celeste, they are very, very well written. I noticed they're differently organized and extremely detailed, so thank you. That was nice work. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Motion passes. Next item up is agenda changes. Superintendent, are there any agenda changes you'd like to make?
No, Chair, not at this time.
All right. Superintendent, I do want to request one agenda change. So we do have the amazing state champion softball team for Deltona High here today, which they know how proud I am. I'm just trying to keep it down. And so some of our players are going to participate in games today, volleyball game in particular. And so I'm going to ask if we can move 5.02 immediately after the approval of the agenda so they can get out of here and get to their games.
Sounds like a good idea.
All right. So, Board, you've heard the agenda as amended. Do we have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Motion's been properly made by Mr. Persis, seconded by Ms. Cuthbert. Any further discussion?
Yes, go Wolves.
He's partial, but I'm sure she's going to let us know why in just a little bit. All right. Hearing no further, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Very good. 5.02, Madam Superintendent.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to ask at this time our distinguished Dr. Christina Lapno, who's here in the audience. I know that Principal McAuliffe really wanted to be here this evening, but unfortunately it's something that's personal and he couldn't be here. But he sent his second best. Couple things. Our girls softball team, they're here. These girls are here this evening, and I'm going to ask as I call your name and your number for you to come up, because I believe the numbers that I will be calling is the number of their jackets, correct? All right, for you to please come on up, and I'll tell you guys why you're coming up, okay? So we're going to recognize number one, Emily. If Emily can come on up. Number two, Anna. Miss Anna. Veronica, number four, Jaylene, number five, Peyton, six, Caitlin, number seven, Megan, number eight, Katie, number nine, Morgan, number 10, Eileen, number 11, Zoe, number 12, Molly, 13, Jalexis, 14, Adriana, 15, Sophia, 16, Sophie, and number 18, Riley. Woo! So let me share a couple of things with the audience. The Deltona High School Lady Wolves won their first softball state championship this past year. This is the first team state championship in Deltona High School's history.
All right.
And the first softball team in Volusia County to win a state title.
All right.
Did you hear that, Chair Cologne?
I heard it.
They finished their first season with a 20-3 overall record. My goodness, girls. That's how you do it. These students athletes embody leading with grace and respect, which is what Volusia County is all about. As a team, their batting average was a 369 with number three. Where is Veronica? Put your hands up. And number 16, Sophie, leading the pack with 526. Put your hands up.
Right,
and 519 batting averages. Number eight, Katie, had 191 strikeouts. Where are you, Katie?
Right there.
Caitlin was also our senior, number six. Caitlin was also our senior class of 2022 valedictorian. Where are you? Number
college.
Six. All right, so let's give these students a big round of applause for their hard work and accomplishment. Chair Cologne, you have an announcement.
Well, first, I want to thank the coaches.
Thank you.
Yes. Congratulations to the coaches. And so if you all will come around this way, and I am extremely proud of you all. I'm just keeping it low here, believe it or not.
He's trying.
And as you know, Mr. McAuliffe wasn't able to be here, but he did send a message.
Good evening, Chairman Colon, board members, and Superintendent Dr. Balgobin. I'm sorry I could not be with you in person this evening because I had a prior obligation to be with my wife by her side. I want to personally congratulate Coach Ingram and our girls' softball team on their state championship win, the first state title brought to Deltona High School. You not only made history, but you demonstrated what strength, resilience, determination, perseverance, and teamwork truly looks like. You are proof that all good things come to those who are willing to sacrifice to reach a worthwhile goal. We are so proud of each and every one of you for the hard work and dedication you show every day. We look forward to you running it back this upcoming season and bringing another state title back to the 32725. Tonight, we congratulate you on a job well done. I have asked Dr. Balgobin for a favor this evening. I'm asking her to present to you on my behalf some new hardware for you ladies. Enjoy this special moment and wear them proudly as you represent not only VCS, but of course our city as well. Thank you to Chairman Colon, board members, Dr. B, and Dr. Barrio for taking the time this evening to recognize our Lady Wolves softball team and all the big things happening on Wolfpack Run. Have a great evening, and as always, go Wolves.
Yay! Woo!
Right, and they're going to, for the sake of the viewing audience, we'll put the bling up on the screen there. I am not sure how we're going to do this.
Oh, yes. Nice.
No, I was paying attention.
So that was
nice.
Oh, wow.
Hi. And you too. Assistant Coach Raymond. How are you? Congratulations, Coach.
Thank you.
You guys did it.
Thank you.
I don't know
if you can
see that. No, that's fine. You're on.
That's what I'm talking about.
Better in person.
Deltona
Blue.
What is there?
Pretty cool.
Congratulations to you. And then mine. Yes, that's what he's talking about. All right.
So you guys got to put them on and we got to bling out here, okay?
I'm sorry.
Nobody better met than you guys.
Alexis.
All right. So we kind of want to showcase
who's like, how are you?
Wait, you're my trouble. I need a run. Sorry. All right.
Everybody moves.
Come on.
All right, guys,
you gotta get in.
You're gonna have a couple of you're gonna have to take a knee.
Maybe about five of you can take
a break. Oh, are you sure?
That's huge.
Thank you,
Dr.
Barry.
Maybe five of you can take a break. So you have to double up, triple up. Where's the my little one? He's so cute. You go right here. I'm the little one. Nice to be in front. Will Mr. Persons?
Principal, I said thanks.
No, that's a nice presentation.
Huh? Well, that's for the other presentation?
Very good. Thank you so much for that. How exciting. And again, congratulations to our Lady Wolves, state champions. Woohoo! Assistant Superintendent Patty Kaur said she expects a repeat this year. So, ladies, oh, that's it. They heard it. All right. Next item on the agenda is 3.01, Superintendent's Announcements and Comments. And again, thank you for allowing us to get them to their volleyball game.
That's what it's all about, Chair. About the students and the staff. Just a couple of things I wanted to share. We all know that Ian came unwelcome. He was not welcome. We never extended an invitation for Ian, but he was here. Couple of things I want to share, and I want to resonate with what you said. Our staff, again, they did an amazing job, not just in front, but also behind the scene. It was 24/7. I'm extremely proud of the entire team, our communications department, our operational division, our teaching and learning division, our school-based staff, our teachers, our support staff. They all went above and beyond and did their part to get our schools ready for our students. A couple things. We opened 4 shelters that Wednesday, September 28th, through Saturday morning, October the 1st. Mainland High and Deland High School, those were our pet-friendly shelters. We had Atlantic High and Galaxy Middle. Those were our special need shelters. And then we housed as many as 476 total families or people that were there throughout the event in those 4 shelters. We provided meals, so thank you to Schoolway Cafe Shelter, our transportation division, for the comfort and the care and love that they've shown to our community. Our staff members in the operational division were on the front line, day in and day out. They're working side by side with the teaching and learning team. So again, I want to extend to all of you and let you know how appreciative we are, the board and myself, of everything that you have done, our district administration, our school-based teams, for leading the plan step by step throughout the process. Board, you guys were in-depthly involved as well, not only on the communication lines, but you are also out there helping, checking in with the shelters. So thank you for your support as well. 7 superintendents from neighboring districts, we were in constant communication throughout the process so that we can have aligned and coordinate as well and share with each other what we were doing. FADS and their teams, our governor, our commissioner of education,
We were in constant communication. They were very supportive of us. I want to extend our gratitude to each organization. Volusia County Emergency Management, our law enforcement, and our EOC County officials, they were incredible to work with. All of this led to a successful reopening of our schools on Wednesday, October the 5th. I will tell you that as we reopened our schools, our staff, prior to reopening our schools, our principals checked in with their staff. We had about an 85% attendance for that Wednesday, so that was incredible. We had folks that were still hurting, but they wanted to be there to extend love and support to our students, and that is something very much noticed. Campbell Middle School, Torrey T. Elementary, Holly Hill, South Daytona, and Heritage. These were schools in which we deployed extra personnel for mental health, mental health teams to those schools in particular. In addition to that, we had a request by case basis for those schools that needed additional support in any way, shape, or form so we can get those supports to those schools. We know that our community is still recovering from Hurricane Ian, and our schools will continue to lead individual recovery efforts with assistance from their local partners and partners in education. In every school, almost, they've got a team of their partners in education have teamed up with them and that are assisting those communities. With that being said, I want to also share at the district level, we have also launched a campaign, and this is on our website, where we are working also with our partners in education because, as you indicated, Ms. Cuthbert and board members, we have a lot of our very own staff members that, their life was disrupted as a result of this. So we want to help stabilize as best as we can, and our partners in education are willing to jump in and assist. So I know that this is on the website, and Mr. Gomez is going to be doing a full blast out to the community so that everyone is aware. Future Foundation is going to be assisting us with this endeavor, by the way. And it's going to be a 90-day fundraising campaign. And we went official, was it yesterday, Mr. Gomez? Did we start officially yet? Okay, we're on. So we're on that 90 days. So anyone that would like to contribute, please go to our website and you will find more information. Again, to all of our partners and our community members, thank you for all of the support that you have offered and that you continue to offer to us. It's what makes this county so unique and special in so many ways. In addition to that, I've got a couple additional announcements that I want to share. Spruce Creek Elementary teacher, I will leave this with her, how she summed it up, basically. There's a teacher from Spruce Creek, her name is Lisa Bowers, and she said it best when she posted on Facebook that the best part about Wednesday was that when she gets to her school, she'll be able to see her second graders, all of her second graders, who are very special to her. Most importantly, Ms. Bowers pretty much reminds us with that statement that we, our school families, they need us. So I want to thank you, Ms. Bowers, and to all of our teachers who have, showed up to school and they were there for our kids and our families. Thank you so very much. Now, upcoming events, high school's SAT day, it's Wednesday, October the 12th, and our teachers are getting ready and our students are getting ready for that. Middle school PSAT day, it's Wednesday, October the 19th. And moving forward, we continue to celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month. And I would like to show a short video. I was told it's less than 3 minutes, Chair Colon, a short video to sum up some of the wonderful recognitions that are taking place in our schools and events that are taking place in our schools. So take it away, Mr. Angel Gomez.
Hola todos, I am Mayra Santiago, ESOL Secondary Specialist. When I think about Hispanic heritage, I think about the love we share for our traditions, our delicious food, and the beautiful music that inspire us. As we reach near the end of our Hispanic Heritage Month, some of our Hispanic students would like to proudly share with you their cultures and traditions that they celebrate every day. Take a look.
Hi, my name is Leslie. I'm from Honduras and represent El Mes de la Hispanidad. And my favorite food is baleada. It's the tortilla, beans, and eggs.
Hello, my name is Osmar, and I represent the Hispanic Heritage Month. I represent Cuba, and something I want you to know about Cuba is that we are very loving persons, we are always together helping each other.
Hello, I'm Isaac, I'm from Mexico, and I represent Hispanic Heritage, and I want to share with you guys, Mexico is pretty, they have a lot of culture, like a lot of countries do, and the special food in there is tacos, pozoles, quesadillas.
Hi, my name is Yamelis, and I'm from Venezuela. Yo represento la herencia hispana. Something about Venezuela is we have the wonderful, largest in the world.
Hello, I'm Chandel.
Hello, I'm Garnier.
We are from Dominican Republic, and we represent the Hispanic Heritage Month. And I'm going to talk about my country. We got the salami and the mango right here.
And we have... Ya no se me olvidó el nombre.
Plátano.
Y
el carnaval.
My name is Michael, and I represent Hispanic Heritage, and I'm from Argentina. The one unique thing that we do in Argentina is that some traditions we end up making grills from one block to another to have fun and relax.
Hello everybody, I am Camila.
I am Karina,
and we represent Hispanic Heritage. So we are from the beautiful island Puerto Rico. It has some beautiful beaches like Playa Flamengo and Culebra, one of the top beaches in the world. And we also have mofongo, which is one of our national plates, and it's delicious. I recommend it for every single one.
It was 2 minutes and 58 seconds.
That was awesome. Again, shout out to Deltona High. It just so happened that they videotaped that there. I don't know if we planned that. I don't know how that worked out, but so proud. I am so proud today. All right, next item on the agenda, 4.01, administrative appointments. Dr. Balgobin.
Thank you, Chair Colon. We do have one appointment tonight. I would like to ask... the appointment that we have is for the Coordinator for Help Desk Information Technology Services. So at this time, I would like to ask Ms. Anthony Sharp to join us, please. Mr. Sharp has earned his bachelor's degree from Bellevue University in Omaha, Nebraska. He holds a certification in IT, IL Foundations, and Six Sigma Green Belt Training. Mr. Sharp has been working in the information technology field since 2011. He has worked for Convergys Corporation as their technical operations manager. He has also worked at Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University as manager of information technology services. Today, I'm recommending him as the coordinator for Help Desk Information Technology Services. And if approved here this evening, his start date will be November 3rd, 2022.
Very good. Board, you've heard the recommendation of the superintendent to appoint Mr. Anthony Sharp as coordinator of Help Desk Information Technology Services. Do we have a motion?
Move approval.
Do you have a second?
I'll second.
Motion has been properly made by Mr. Persis, seconded by Mrs. Burnett. Any further discussion? Well, I have some discussion. Sir, your resume is, a lot of those companies sound familiar, so we are honored, and you also seem to be local from Embry-Riddle as well, so that is a good thing, and so we'll welcome you here to Volusia County. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Motion passes. Congratulations, and welcome to Volusia County.
I'd just like to... Is this hot?
Yeah. Yes.
I'd like to say thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to join this family. I believe the school district is a family, and I look forward to working with Dr. Kuhn and envisioning his new strategy for the organization. So thank you very much.
Very good. Thank you. And if you don't mind joining us for a picture, we'd appreciate that. All right, and so I am glowing on the inside. 5.01, recognition of career and technical education and our wonderful programs and academies at Deltona High School. Dr. Balgobin.
Dr. Christina Lapno, can you please join us on your team? So as you know, Chair, board members, there are so many wonderful things happening in our schools, and this is the month to really showcase what's happening in our high schools. And again, I know that Mr. McAuliffe would have liked to be here this evening, but again, he's got superstars working with him, right? So Dr. Lapno is going to share with us a little bit in terms of the CTE world at Deltona High, and I want to thank you guys for all the swag. Thank you. Beautiful. Very nice. Thank you so very much. This is amazing. Mike doesn't know how to send one T-shirt or one item.
No.
But love it. I'm not complaining, okay? Go for it.
Thank you so much. Good evening, Chairman Colon.
Can you bring the microphone closer to you? So there we go. You're awesome.
Thank you so much. Good evening, Chairman Colon, honorable school board members, and Superintendent Balgobin. I want to first thank you so much for having us and giving us the opportunity to showcase all the great things happening on Wolfpack Run and in our city of Deltona. Deltona High is honored to showcase three of our career academies, our Food and Ag Science Academy, our Academy of Digital Media Enterprise, Health Services Academy, and then two of our programs that we are hoping to expand into academies pretty soon. Those are our Early Childhood Care Program and our EMR Firefighting Program. Our academies and programs presented tonight align with Mr. McAuliffe's Pillars to Academic Success, closely with number 3 and number 4, ensuring all students graduate in 4 years or less, and of course, ensuring that they leave Deltona High and cross that stage, either college and or career ready. All academies and programs presented before you tonight allow the students an opportunity to earn industry certifications, which will in turn make these students more marketable to universities and, of course, potential employers. I'm so proud of the growth of our academies and programs, but I'm most proud of the people that make them so special. I'm joined today by a few student speakers that will share their experiences with their academies. The first being Riley Sawyer from our ADME Academy. Riley, if you want to join us up here. Let me tell you a little bit about our ADME Academy. Our academy stands for the Academy of Digital Media Enterprise. This program was built for students who are creative. It creates an environment where they combine both the technical and the business side. We have had success with certifications for students on both the business side of the academy as well as the technology and design side in Photoshop, Illustrator, InDesign, and our ESB, which is an entrepreneurship certification. This academy combines two of our most popular programs, our digital design and promotional enterprise programs. And here is Riley Sawyer to tell you a little bit more about his experience with the academy.
Thank you, Dr. Lapnow. This is my fourth year being a part of what was the CTE program, now expanded to the ADME Academy. And throughout my high school journey, I came into high school with the goal of furthering my interest in technology and I have definitely gotten my fair share of that. I have gained 4 certifications with Mr. Scott and Mr. Malazzo combined, and I have expanded my horizons on the production and artistic side of digital enterprise. With Mr. Malazzo, that would be the means of producing cups, shirts for clubs around here, and getting that community sense that you would find in like a local business, along with the editing and photography like capabilities with Mr. Scott. And let me tell you, his visions have never motivated me more to do better, and has really opened my creative eye with he's just incredible. He can take a tiny detail and expand it into so much more. And with his assistant this year, I have moved up to editor of the yearbook, helping him. And I look forward to becoming a freelance photographer, hopefully, in the future.
Good.
Thank you.
Mr. Malazzo, Mr. Scott, if you can stand up. Thank you.
And if it's okay, I would love to tell you a little bit about Mr. Scott and Mr. Malazzo. They have built this academy from the floor up, and that was really based upon their passions and their past career experiences. They have built Deltona High's brand. So anything that we come to them with, any design idea, any weird thought that we think may work, they always run with. So all the swag we brought to you today, were their designs for sure.
Awesome.
Their vision and the vision of their students has really created something that is meaningful at Deltona High and something that we can use every day. So I really appreciate the two.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Admi Academy. All right, we're going to go ahead and talk a little bit about our next academy, which is our Food and Agricultural Sciences Academy, and it's certainly a unique one, and I'm going to have Ms. Fisher come up, Ms. Nancy Fisher, if you wouldn't mind joining me. So we have a farm on DHS's campus, and it is just cool. It really is. It's one of my favorite places to go. If you're having a bad day, you just need to go up to the farm for a few minutes. The Food and Ag Science Academy is a career-based program where students can explore careers through food science and related agricultural careers. Our academy is a blend of agriculture, farm-to-table, food chemistry, and then, of course, culinary skills. The academy is completely hands-on, and students are involved on campus and off campus in many aligning activities. Our program has over 100 students in the academy involved in FFA. The popularity of this program continues to grow, as do many of the national and state recognitions for these students. Certifications in this program include an Ag Associate, an Agri Technician, ServSafe, which is a huge one, National Registry for Certified Food Manager, and Food Safety and Science. To highlight a little of her experience with her academy is Ms. Nancy Fisher.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Nancy Fisher, and I have been in the Food and Agricultural Science Academy for 4 years. The Food and Agriculture Academy is an outstanding academy. It has given me leadership skills as well as helping me prepare for my future career as an agriculture educator. An important piece of our academy is our FFA. FFA stands for Future Farmers of America. The FFA is a national organization that shows youth the importance of the future of agriculture. In FFA, members have an opportunity to raise livestock and show them at the county fair. This shows students the importance of the farm-to-table food, as well as responsibility. This organization has made an incredible impact on my life, as well as my teacher, Ms. Farah Johnson.
And the backbone of our program really is Farah Johnson. Farah Johnson is amazing. She has made this academy and program what it is. She's been involved at the national and state levels of ag education, serving as the president of the National Association of Ag Educators and serving the board for the Florida FFA. She puts her heart and soul into everything she does at Deltona High School, and her students adore her, and she adores her students. So we're very lucky.
Yay.
Thank you so much.
Has
hasn't Ms. Johnson come before the board before?
Yeah.
Yes, she has. So Ms. Johnson actually was in, where were you this week? In Virginia Beach, because she was a candidate.
That's the
Board of CTE Teacher of the Year. And for those who don't know what CTE is, because we throw lots of acronyms around, Career and Technical Education. And so she was recognized for the whole state. So we are blessed to have her at 32725.
Our next academy is our Health Services Academy. It is the longest-running health academy in Volusia County and one of the longest-running academies. It started over 25 years ago. Trinity, will you come join me up here? The goal of the Health Services Academy is to create prepared medical professionals that have an appreciation and a knowledge of the lifelong skills, positive mindset, and the certifications and competencies needed in the healthcare field. Our Health Services Academy is very popular at DHS, with 175 students enrolled in the courses and on the four-year academy track. Students can earn three different industry certifications over the program, and that's Certified Patient Care Tech, Certified Medical Administrative Assistant, and, of course, the EKG. Here is Trinity Bellflower to tell you a little bit about her experience.
Thank you, Dr. Lapnow, and good evening, Volusia County School Board. Thank you for inviting us here tonight and having the opportunity to speak. My name is Trinity Bellflower, and I'm a senior at Deltona High School. I've been in the Health Services Academy for 4 years now, and throughout my time in the academy, I've learned many valuable skills that will help me in my future career as a pediatric nurse. I've been certified in CPR, received my CMAA certification, and am currently working on my EKG technician certification and my certified patient care technician certification. My goal is to hopefully go get hired on Advent Health when I graduate, and that is all thanks to the Health Services Academy and the amazing teachers involved with it. In the Academy, we also work very closely with HOSA. We are all affiliated with them, and we all compete. They work their Health Occupation Students of America, and we all compete. We pick an event. My event was Home Health Aid, and we go to regionals in January. I replaced first last year, and then we advanced to states, which was in Orlando, where I was able to have so many different opportunities with my friends and have just so much fun and while learning so much. Ultimately, this academy, I've learned so many things that are going to help me in my future, and that is all thanks to everything going on here at Deltona High School.
Great. Yay.
And these students are in the field. They are. They're out there. You see them. They're at your doctor's appointments. As a random side note, I was in a pretty scary car accident about 8 years ago, and I had just started at Deltona High School. And so the EMT who put me in the back of the ambulance, he's trying to make small talk, you know, to keep me distracted a little. And he said, "So what do you do?" I said, "Well, I'm an assistant principal at Deltona High School." He said, "I was part of their medical skills academy. Those are the best people around." And it's true. You know, there's some really good people at Deltona High School. Thank you, Trinity.
Very good. Miss Burnett, did you hear where she wants to work?
I knew. I knew he was going to say it.
That's okay. I can change your mind.
Negative. Congratulations and thank you again.
All right. Our early childhood program is one that has taken off in the last few years and is one of the warmest and happiest places on our campus. Deltona High has had a pre-K program for our community 3- and 4-year-olds for over 20 years on our campus. Elena, if you want to go ahead and... Thank you. Our Wolf Pup program has a long history of prepping our youngest wolves for education and our high school wolves for a career in education. Our students complete a 4-year program where they complete 500 hours in the child care setting, getting real-world experience, all while supporting our pups academically, emotionally, and socially. Our high school students create lesson plans, activities, and learning opportunities for our wolf pups and make learning come alive. For example, this week is Community Helper Week. Is that what it's called, Community Helpers? And the students have had special guests this week, like a local police officer yesterday and a local firefighter today. My little John Thomas is in the program, and he was very excited to tell me all about, you know, the Community Helpers Week. Students leave Deltona High with a National Child Development Association, and that's the CDA, which is a huge certification where they can go directly out into the field and work as a licensed pre-K or a VPK. And our Wolf Pup program fosters a love of learning in our smallest wolves and in our high school wolves. Here is Alina Carlisle to tell you a little bit more about the cutest program on campus.
Dr. Lab now. Good afternoon. My name is Alina Carlisle, and I've been a member of the Early Childhood Education Program for 4 years. The experience that I'm gaining from this program is an amazing entrance into the education world. I've been able to work hands-on with preschoolers from our own Deltona community. I get to work in rotations in order to complete all the requirements necessary by DCF to work in all childcare centers and preschools in the state of Florida, which are in great need. I am currently in my 4th year. Every day, I get to work with the children. While doing so, I've gained practice, gained patience and understanding on child development milestones and appropriate practices. I've created standard aligned lessons, and I am also completing my Child Development Associate requirements and preparing for my final observation. This program has provided preschool teachers to our local child care centers, such as Lady Bird Academy. Currently, 5 of our Deltona High alumni work there. In addition, I am provided opportunities to shadow teachers and attend events around local elementary schools, such as the upcoming Hispanic Heritage event at Enterprise Elementary. With this program, I am able to leave high school with my Child Development Associates and continue into higher education at any college with the confidence of becoming a Volusia County educator and having the opportunity to one day teach the very same kids I got to see grow up while in Wolf Pup Preschool. Our very teacher, Ms. Carlo, got the chance to do that of her own. She graduated from Pine Ridge High School while doing the ECU program and is now teaching some of the preschoolers that she got to teach, and is now seeing them in high school. Early childhood education gives Volusia County an opportunity to grow our own. Thank you.
Hey.
If Ms. Carlisle can come up.
So good.
Mrs. Carlisle is a saint. There is no doubt in my book. She has between 10 and 12 little wolf pups, and then she has a full class of the teenagers too. And she just makes it look effortless every single time. She does it with grace. She has so much patience, and I just couldn't ask for a better program director. I just couldn't. She's incredible. So
you trust your child in her hands. I mean, that's a better testament. Thank you.
All right, and finally today, our EMR, our firefighting program, is one that we're hoping to expand into an academy, and I'm going to ask Jacob to come up and sit with us. Our DHS firefighters program prepares students to be employed as EMR responders and explores firefighting as a profession. Students work closely with the Deltona Fire Department and local agencies and have a great partnership with the professionals that work there. Often you can find emergency medical responders and firemen and women talking about the field, sharing experiences, and giving students on-campus and off-campus tours of the fire trucks, equipment, and stations. Our firefighting program is our newest program, this being our 3rd year. But this year alone, we have 100 students taking the first level, and the program continues to grow every year. Here is one of our seniors, Jacob Tregler, with a little bit more about the program.
Thank you, Dr. Lepnow, and thank you, Board, for welcoming us here tonight. My name is Jacob Tregler, and I am the fire chief for the fire class right there at Deltona High School. And as Dr. Lepnow said, Deltona High School's 4th pillar of success is to ensure students are college and career ready. And that is exactly what the fire program does. So students will be able to graduate high school with their state-recognized Firefighter 1 certification, as well as their EMR certification, which is your emergency medical responder. And with that, you can go straight into college. So you pretty much skip the first semester of standards. So you just go straight into the Fire 2 class with Daytona State or however you want to go. And then you can also use your EMR cert. I don't exactly know where you might get hired from, honestly, but But on top of learning career-based skills, we, the students, have fun and exciting opportunities at field trips, volunteering, and my personal favorite, ride-alongs. So our ride-alongs are with Deltona Fire Rescue, and we are welcome to go to the stations twice every 9 weeks. And we go, we do ride-alongs in the community, we go to calls in the community, we do hands-on learning and activities with the firefighters that are already there. So working with hoses, hand tools. We're going to be doing forcible entry, which I am very excited for. And then on top of our fire program, we also have FPSA, which is the club that we are going to be having everybody, all the students, go into. And with that, you can compete on the state level. So I plan on competing in search and rescue and the physical agility course. So we're going to be in full gear, blacked out, and we're going to have to find a victim in a simulated, like, residential structure. And just a few weeks ago, we were actually invited by Seminole County Emergency Management to participate in an active shooter drill at the Central Florida Zoo. Yeah. So the students played as victims in that. And so it was a really cool experience to see the law enforcement and fire service side of these responses to such strange incidents. So that was really valuable for us. And after graduating high school, I want to go to Seminole State for fire and EMT. So this program really means a lot to me.
Good for you. Yeah. Thank you.
Now, Ms. Megan Wilmont is our program director for this, but she's also our volleyball coach, so she's not here tonight. However, she has so much experience that she brings alive in the classrooms for our students. She makes students see the power and the responsibility of being a first responder, but also shines light on all the fun, the traditions, and the family that's created within these fields as well. So it's a wonderful program for sure.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jacob.
It's awesome. Yay.
In closing, we have a program just to fit just about every need. At Deltona High School, we have a culinary program, a construction program, a digital video program. With the help of Mrs. Castelli, we've also been working on a new and exciting maybe dental health program. And we cannot thank Mrs. Castelli enough. Her support over CTE over the last few years is amazing. She always makes herself available. She's always present on campus. She's a wealth of knowledge anytime we call her or ask her anything, and we really appreciate her. I also want to thank Ms. Meadows. She's our on-campus CTE guru. She's always willing to do anything for the success of our students. We have an academically rigorous Cambridge program, a decorated JROTC program, a healthy AVID program, and we have many wonderful academic opportunities at DHS. We always have something going on campus, whether it's activities, athletics, extracurriculars, and ways to expand learning. But the very best part are the people that fill the hallways. And we feel very blessed and very lucky and proud to be part of Deltona High School. And I know Mr. McAuliffe is at home, and he wishes that he was here more than anything, but he is so proud of the team of people that fill that school. And so thank you so much for allowing us to come and shine some light on that today.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. And I think we saw Ms. Zarbro, AP, in the back, and Mr. Franks was here. There he is. Hey. And of course, I'd be remiss if I didn't recognize the cafeteria manager, Schoolway Cafe, Ms. Kathy from Deltona High, who is over there just shining because she's proud. I know she is.
Wolf Nation to come on up.
Wolf Nation, absolutely. Does anybody have any questions, thoughts, feelings, or concerns? Oh, we have a video. Let's do the video first, and then we'll go around.
Is it 2:58?
Press down hard, okay? He's got the good head tilt chin lift going.
There's a lot of hands-on skills that we get to do. Your freshman year, you get to start out in the EMR class, which is all about emergency medicine. So you're showing up on scene, helping a patient. So it's just a really great program. And by the end of it, you'll graduate with your Fire 1 certification, which is recognized by the state of Florida. And then you can go straight to Fire 2 at a college.
The Health Academy is a four-year program that provides students with medical knowledge that they can use in future healthcare careers.
Ninth grade covers medical skills, 10th grade anatomy physiology, 11th grade health science foundations, and 12th grade allied health. Upon completion of the Health Academy, you receive lots of certifications, and in the 12th grade, you also receive a patient care tech certification that gives you a direct connection to Advent Health.
We've been in the Food and Science Academy for 4 years, and it helped us a lot prepare for life after high school.
It is a four-year academy, so in the first year, we learn about the foundations of agriculture and FFA, and the second year is food science, and then the fourth year is leadership. The Food and Agriculture Science Academy has given us appreciation for farm-to-table food, as well as helped me personally enter my future career as an agricultural educator.
ADME is Advanced Digital Media Enterprise. Mr. Scott and Ms. Malazzo, you know, they're great teachers. It's a very fun class.
With Scott and his digital media classes, I'm learning Photoshop, Illustrator, and InDesign, which are crucial software design pieces that any major company is going to look for. And for Malazzo, he's teaching me all the ins and outs of a small business, what a CFO, COO is.
The Childhood Development Program, with our program here in the preschool, we have a hands-on learning experience, learning how to make a lesson plan based on preschool standards. I would love to be a music teacher, and I really appreciate the fact that I can learn how to care for children now, and then later on in life I can further my music career and then combine the two that I'm passionate about and really do something that I love.
That was awesome, and I'm sure Mr. McAuliffe is at home shining. Big smile on his face. Very good. And so if you all will join us up here for a few... Comments. We'll go around.
I just wanted to say one thing. If you've noticed, the public would notice, every speaker was poised, knowledgeable, very much distinctive in pronunciation of language, which is articulation, and even the speakers on the video. And that's something that also CTE brings to our students. And they're always as good as they are, you know, who's coaching and teaching them behind them are even better. So thanks to all the employees and the coaches and the teachers and the support group who help these students as well. So thanks, you too. But I was very, very impressed with all the student speakers, so thank you.
Great, thank you. Anybody else? Well, again, thank you. You guys are awesome students, teachers. Thank you, and I am so proud of you guys.
Yeah.
So let's take a picture.
All right. You with your group.
No, come on, everybody.
Wolf Nation, come on up. If you're from Wolf Nation, come on up.
FFA,
All right, this meeting is adjourned. No.
Hey, you said it. We're going.
Negative.
The wrong way.
All right, thank you again to Deltona High.
Hey, bye.
What time is it? 5:41. All right, we'll move on to the consent agenda. Superintendent, are there any items we need to remove from the consent agenda?
No, Chair.
Board, are there any items that you'd like further discussion on from the consent agenda? Yes, ma'am?
Just can we discuss 12.09?
Would you like to have a discussion prior to, or would you like to do it by itself?
We can just do it prior to.
Okay. 12.01.
It's the impact fee.
So go ahead and ask your question.
Okay, thank you. So I was more of a statement, and I know that at the workshop, the committee came before us, and they had some concerns, and I just wanted to make sure that everybody understood that this being on our consent agenda by no means sets the rate. It's just that we're going ahead and approving the study that was provided to us, and I just wanted that clear that we're not agreeing to any fees. It has just to do with the study being approved. I just want to make that statement.
Because what was given to us at the workshop was in draft form.
Yes.
Correct. Anybody else have any questions, thoughts, feelings, or concerns? All right. Do we have any public comment cards for the consent agenda? Okay, I don't see any. Very good. Board, do we have a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented?
So moved, please.
Second.
Second. Motion's been properly made by Ms. Burnett, seconded by Ms. Cuthbert. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Motion passes. Next item on the agenda will be, actually, we're on board action at this point.
Board action.
How long do we need for?
About 15 minutes. And Mr. Chair?
Yes, ma'am.
May I suggest we have a 10-minute break? By the time we get back, we'll be in time for public comment and then take care of our two items.
We can do that. We'll take a 17-minute break. We'll be back at 6 for public comment.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
All right, we'll go ahead and get started with public comment. We'll call this meeting back to order. Mr. Willie Williams.
Hot chocolate.
I know we're moving quick today, Mr. Williams. Caught you off guard, didn't I? Oh, there you go. Welcome, Mr. Williams.
Thank you, sir. Greetings to Chairman Cologne, Superintendent Dr. Balgobin, school board members, and members of the audience. My name is Willie Frank Williams, Jr., and I'm from Daytona Beach, Florida. I read an article on September 27th with the title, Governor DeSantis Appointed Commissioner Resigns After Ku Klux Klan Picture Emerges. Gaston County is located in North Rural Florida and has about 55% black population, one of the highest in the state. The person Governor DeSantis appointed was the only non-black member of the county commission. With great power comes great responsibilities. One of my favorite quotes from my movie, Spider-Man. Leaders have a responsibility to put people in place that will help to build trust and serve the community in their specific roles. To have this type of allegation in 2022 and the history of what the Ku Klux Klan has meant to minorities and especially black people is crushing. This is why I was so outraged when we pulled the Rosa Parks book last year. We never got the investigation that was promised around everything that happened in that situation. Crushing. How does this relate to Volusia County? I came across an article written by Annie Martin of the Orlando Sentinel on August 26, 2015. The title of the article reads, White Teacher Claims Bias Because She Associated with Blacks. It goes on to say that a former Edgewater High teacher sued Orange County Public Schools, contending administrators harassed and terminated her because she associated with black co-workers and dated a black man. The Florida Commission on Human Relations issued a letter in 2014 stated that they found reasonable cause to believe the district discriminated unlawfully against her. The suit alleges, at the time, Assistant Principal Anthony Sirianni referred to her classroom as the club and complained about her playing black music. According to the article, to promote a talent show, the principal and Sirianni and other white staff members performed a skit in blackface. They wore weave extensions, men wore Afro wigs, and the group wore gold teeth, jewelry, and baggy clothes. The performance was a stereotypical pejorative of black culture. Many students and staff viewed this performance as demeaning to blacks and were greatly offended. Then when I saw the appointment of Anthony Sirianni from Orange County as a new principal for Volusia Online Learning, is this the same person? I know that there are allegations, but I believe we deserve an explanation. The lawsuit stands on its own. To be a leader who is white, to think that it is appropriate to dress in blackface. This needs to be investigated in a public explanation before this board. The community deserves an answer. Mr. Chair, the superintendent asked during her opening address to kick off the year for all members who went to Volusia County Schools and now work to please stand up. Nearly the entire room stood up. We have some of the hardest working and dedicated leaders you could ever find. I did a public information request and saw that many Volusia County candidates applied to be principal of Volusia Online Learning. It seems that everyone who applies for a job in Volusia County, and they are from outside of Volusia County, get the job. I saw the same happen under the leadership of our previous superintendent, Dr. Fritz. What is the probability of that
happening? Thank you, Mr. Williams. Next up, Ms. Jennifer Kelly.
Good evening, everyone.
Welcome.
The American Academy of Pediatrics defines a young adult as an individual between 18 and 21 years of age, a teen as between 12 and 18 years old, a grade schooler as between the ages of 5 to 12. The NIH defines a young adult as someone 18 to 26. However, the American Library Association defines young adult as individuals between 12 to 18 years of age. Please keep this in mind as I continue. Since the last school board meeting, it has come to my attention a promotion of something called Banned Books Week took place in some Volusia County school media centers during the week of September 18th through the 24th. This promotion included a poster that pictured 10 banned book titles posted in the Media Center and on the school website. Some of those books are labeled by the American Library Association as young adult, and a few of them as adult. These 10 books contain content including, but not limited to, sexual nudity, molestation, violence, child abuse, sexual assault, profanity, alcohol and drug use, and obscene sexual activities. And this is to include graphic illustrations of sex acts. Parental guidance and consent are both bypassed in the school media center. There is nothing to stop minor children from accessing these books from this advertisement. Upon discovery of this promotion, I contacted the principal and media specialist where I first discovered the poster. The principal responded and made a decision to remove the poster, stating it sends the wrong message, and informed me the poster had come from the American Library Association. The poster on the website was removed and replaced with the following statement from the media specialist. It reads, "What is Banned Books Week? Observe September 18th through the 24th, 2022, the American Library Association typically highlights a list of books, usually the top 10 from the previous year that might have been challenged, questioned, and/or received attention for content or matter of objection. Explanation and background is also provided. Guided discussions could be had about these and past 100 books making this list. This observation simply celebrates our constitutional right as individuals to read and listen to ideas of others." Well, my response to that is, parents have the constitutional right and now state law to direct the education, medical care, and moral upbringing of their children. We don't want books with sexual content in our children's school libraries. The statement from the media specialist says the poster's intent is to highlight the books that parents object to. Why? Why would Volusia County Schools want to actively work against concerned parents? Better question, why are these books even there in the first place? Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Jerry Pikett. Welcome, Dr. Pikett.
Board Chairman, members of the board, community, business partners, superintendent of schools. As we already know, the impact of COVID-19 has tremendously increased the academic achievement gaps of our underserved students, particularly those with disabilities. This is according to the highlighted scores on the National Assessment of Educational Progress. With this information in mind, perhaps we could consider an initiative for all students to obtain and access the virtual online learning platform as an additional accelerated academic option, along with required standard school-based curriculum learning expectations, particularly for our underserved students. Additionally, is it possible for us to link this initiative with an online after-hours virtual tutoring platform? Next, as 21st century education shifts more toward using digital resources in K-12 curriculum, are we taking any form of aggressive actions to increase standard and accelerated academic content provided by digital books, e-books, and/or audiobooks? Also, as pertaining to addressing the continuous educational inequality practices utilized against faculty and staff throughout Volusia County Schools, has the superintendent or cabinet reviewed, revised, or discussed any changes or modifications to our current hiring protocol? If not, I'm urging this governing board to direct this leadership cabinet to seek an outside agency to research 21st century hiring practices and revisit, restructure, and present an official hiring protocol for approval by this board, along with an updated superintendent evaluation tool containing yearly targets centered mostly around the success of learning gains for all students, particularly our underserved and students with disabilities. Finally, since we do have the time to recruit and hire the best and brightest educators available, we should also act within. I am urging this leadership team to formulate an initiative for experienced, effective, and highly effective teachers in ELA and mathematics to transfer to any of our underserved schools January 2023. We could limit this transfer to no more than one teacher from a high-performing school, and we could utilize perhaps ESSA or federal grants to fund $8,000 stipends per year for teachers selected. In summation, effective leadership is providing service to the people, solving problems, particularly for communities in need of solutions, and action that gets clear results. So if we love and care about the people we serve, there's no possible way that we cannot come together and find the answers we seek. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Pikett. Mr. Scott Cleary. Welcome.
Good evening, Mr. Chair, board members, Dr. B. So this week I saw an interesting flyer distributed through the district about retention. And that's an important topic because HR looks like it needs more like a deli counter than anything looking at the list of appointments and separations over the last several months. That said, there's a couple things, and this is based on a personal experience, that I think really needs to be driven home. The first thing is, in meetings and where you provide collaboration, I see a startling and troubling trend where administrators select those who will say yes. Because we have some wonderful teachers who will literally light themselves on fire if they think it's going to be good for kids. And there are some that will take a critical eye and, you know, tear things apart, not to destroy it, but to make it better. And I had an experience earlier this year where I had a meeting with some administrators who I will not say who they were, but they were not, I'll just leave it at that, where I left the meeting feeling that it would have been a better use of my time speaking to the wall behind you. And I know I'm not alone in that feeling. When good people feel that they're not listened to, not agreed with, just not listened to, you really do not foster the trust, the grace, or the respect that teachers crave. And while pay is certainly an issue with retention, and you're going to have to make some hard decisions there, there are teachers that are throwing up their hands and saying, I'm not being listened to anymore. And if they're not being listened to, but yet being held accountable for educational outcomes, that's not a healthy mix. In fact, that is pretty much a toxic culture. So while we're talking about retention and trying to keep people here longer than a couple weeks, as Board Doc shows, there are some that came and left in within a month, perhaps this should be a topic of conversation amongst district leadership. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ashlyn Pronovost. Did I say that right? I did. Okay, yes. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
Dear Volusia County School Board, I want to continue to bring awareness to the pornography in the libraries. I was disappointed to see a high school in our county celebrate Banned Book Week with a poster that were books that aren't banned because they can still be purchased. To find out, our school libraries have banned book categories, yet the book is still there. How are books banned if the children still have access to them? What's actually happening is parents like me raising awareness and challenging these books in hopes of removing pornography from the hands of our children. It's sad enough how readily accessible it already is, yet our own county has encouraged it by adults in our school system allowing pornography in our libraries. Why does our county want to promote sex as young as eighth grade? Why would we want to put books in our library about a single 30-year-old woman who pays an escort to teach her how to have sex? How does reading about sex tie into being a successful student? As we've begun the process of challenging books, we've been told that we have to have a meeting at each individual school in person with no way possible to do a virtual visit. Some of the books we've challenged have been removed already, and it doesn't apply to any other school for removal. How can a parent be expected to take this off this allotted amount of time for requesting sexually explicit material to be removed from the catalog? Some principals have responded that they are fine with virtual team meetings, but district personnel has made sure that all will be in person. We've already had one principal reschedule the date and time of our meeting. A job requirement that my husband has for to be able to help me is he has to request 2 weeks off in advance in order to be able to attend these meetings with me. A principal is already canceled with us, and so I'm just not sure how this is really a realistic expectation for parents to be able to attend these in person. My husband would really have to risk his job in order to be there and then go tell his boss that, hey, I don't need this time off anymore, but I'm going to need time off in 2 weeks from now again. I never would have dreamed the day would have come that pornography would be acceptable and encouraged by adults to minors. I truly hope that this school board tightens the policy and protects Volusia County students from reading books about things they are too young to understand. I hope our school board takes a stand and says pornography is not promoted here. I keep thinking about being 13 years old, picking up a book about a grandma who abuses her grandchildren and locks them in an attic for two of the siblings to later become sexually active with one another and give details about how amazing it is. I wouldn't have been able to even understand how to cope with this type of information, and this is a book that is in middle schools now. Please protect our minors. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any more public comment cards? All right, so we'll close public comment. Thank you. Next item on the agenda, 16.01, 2022-2023 Uniform Statewide Assessment Calendar. Dr. B.
Thank you, Chair Colon, board members. At this time, I would like to ask our Deputy Superintendent for Teaching and Learning, Ms. Rachel Hazel, along with our Research, Evaluation, and Accountability Coordinator, Dr. Angel Turan, to come up to the dais. They have a very short presentation for us on our assessment calendar.
Thank you and welcome.
Well, good evening, Chair Colon, Superintendent Balgobin, and board members. We are going to present a short presentation on the assessment calendar, and I just want to remind you this is a board action item because this is the calendar that we submit to the state, but we also wanted to provide you with some information regarding our approach to assessments, which has changed significantly from the beginning of the year. You know, we had a lot of change in district staff over Dr. Valley reminds me, July. In July, everybody came. And so we've been able to put together a uniform assessment calendar that we believe makes sense and meets the needs of our district. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Turan to begin our presentation.
Good afternoon, Chairman Colon, board members, Dr. Balgobin. It was not too long ago that you welcomed me into the Volusia School family, and we briefly discussed district assessments. The one thing that it stayed with me that day is that we all wanted valid and reliable assessments, but we also wanted an appropriate number of valid and reliable assessments. This proposal begins that work.
This presentation aligns with high-quality instruction as well as resources when we look at our strategic plan.
Legislation requires that a district may not schedule more than 5% of a student's school hours to state and district assessment. This proposal, if accepted, will streamline our assessment schedule and bring our district average below 2%. In my estimation, every assessment a student takes should have a singular purpose: to inform instructional practice in order to improve student learning outcomes. The two quotes in front of you speak to Volusia County's comprehensive assessment system. The changes that we propose are mainly in ELA and math. Science and social studies remain mostly the same. And the proposal asks you to consider moving to three benchmark assessments in ELA and math per grade.
So just to be a little bit more specific about that, curriculum, instruction, and assessment are tied together. You can't unmarry them. Anytime a teacher teaches a lesson, there is some form of assessment going on. And I'm usually looking at Ms. Haynes and Ms. Cuthbert, but I'm looking at Ms. Cuthbert now. When you are teaching a lesson, it's not about what the teacher is saying. It's about what the students are learning. And the only way to really get to that is to, and I'm sorry, Mr. Persis, I was looking at you too, is to really drill down to what have the students learned. And that requires some form of assessment. What we hear about and what I've talked to many teachers about and parents about is the concern of the event of an assessment, where we stop everything, we take instructional time, and we make a very formal process of giving a test that is stressful for students. But that does not mean that in a classroom, a teacher is not going to need to teach a lesson and then give a chapter test at the end of that. And what this proposal does is embeds checkup, topic checks, into curriculum maps so that the teachers know when they need to stop and give that assessment.
The following instructional tools and formative assessments will not be removed from teachers. They will still have access to them. They are embedded in our curriculum, in our instructions. These checks for understanding serve as verifications of learning and are embedded in our curriculum. Our school principals, teachers, and instructional leaders know their students, and we want to give them the flexibility to provide individual support based on school results. The next couple of slides provide you a look into how this will look in practice. If you notice, in third grade in ELA and math, if the proposal is accepted, we will go from 24 assessments to 6. In grade 4 in ELA and math, we'll go from 23 to 6. Fifth grade, 24 to 6. Sixth grade, from 18 to 9. Seventh grade, the same, 18 to 9. Eighth grade, 18 to 9. In ninth grade, algebra and ELA, from 13 to 9. And 10th grade, from ELA and geometry, from 13 to 9. This slide provides you a look on the impact on instructional time. In second grade, we'll go from 700 minutes to 360. Third grade, from 770 to 360. 805 to 360 for fourth grade. Fifth grade, 840 to 360. Sixth grade, it'll go from 1,225 to 660. Seventh grade will go from 1,145 to 660. In eighth grade, from 1,065 to 660. In ninth grade, from 955 to 660. And the same in tenth grade. The idea is to give teachers instructional time back so that they can provide the necessary remediation, intervention, and acceleration that our students need. The next couple of slides give you a look in by discipline. In kindergarten and first grade, we will have no district assessments. The state has progress monitoring 1, 2, and 3. In second grade, we will have one district assessment, and the state mandated 3. In grade 3, we will have 3 district assessments and the 3 mandated by the state, and the same for 4th and 5th. The next slice covers middle school ELA. Next slide covers high school ELA. Basically, it would be the three district assessments and the three state assessments. This slide covers elementary math. It follows the same as ELA. Middle school math, where we will have three district level assessments and three state mandated assessments. High school math. And now the highlights. Overall, under the proposed plan, there will be an increase in instructional minutes due to a 45% reduction in the instructional minutes used to administer district assessments. Elementary schools will receive the largest increase in available instructional minutes. There is a 50% reduction in the instructional minutes used to administer district assessments. Classroom instructional tools and formative checks under the previous plan will still be provided to teachers to use in their textbook publisher platforms. As Mrs. Hazel noticed, there will not be events.
There won't be the requirement to enter them into School City, and the pacing as well will be different.
This slide provides you estimates of the total testing time by grade level. I hope that you consider and accept the proposal, considering that the proposal streamlines the assessment schedule and returns valuable instructional time to our teachers.
Thank you so much. Board, does anyone have any questions? Ms. Cuthbert.
Oh, you thought I did?
You're there.
With my mind. Has the state come up with any guidance about progress monitoring? Have we heard anything yet?
We've given the first fast progress monitoring assessment. That window has closed, and we've gotten the results back for that. Now, this first one is used only for informational purposes for us to use as a baseline because we don't have anything to link it to yet. The second one we will be able to use to really guide instruction and be very prescriptive about course corrections that we need to make within curriculum. But this first one is simply baseline data.
How much time did it take? I mean, how much?
Well, so I'm glad you asked that question. So that varied greatly, and I know that Charlene Sozio is here as well who can answer questions, but that varied greatly because initially the state had given us some parameters and said that the test, was it 90 minutes? That the test should take 90 minutes. And so this, as any other standardized test, then we gave the 90-minute window. And then because we chose to give the test a week later, then there was a window that they gave you to give it, and several counties started the week before we did. Those counties reported that it was taking longer, and then the window, we were given the directive to allow students to take as long as they needed to complete the test within the sitting. So that really varied greatly. I couldn't give you a specific, like, it took 90 minutes in kindergarten or it took 90 minutes in second grade. I heard of some that it did. I heard of some that it was much longer.
The progress monitoring is a sit-down test.
Yeah, it is, yes.
Yes. Okay. So it's not what we thought progress monitoring was going to be beforehand, correct? I mean, I guess what I'm trying to understand, and so the public understands as well, when you say progress monitoring, I'm thinking a walkthrough to see how everybody's working.
Yeah.
But this is a sit-down test, correct?
Correct. What they mean by progress monitoring is that you get the data throughout the year rather than one end of the year. But the end of the year is what we will be graded on. So what progress monitoring is it's three tests over time, but they're the same. They measure the same standards.
Okay, so we're still not going to have that one at the end. There's no, like, FSA test at the end of the year.
Yeah, there is.
There's three of them now.
The third one.
We still have the end of the test, plus we have additional.
And the one at the end is the one that our schools will be graded on.
And so what about the progress monitoring? How will they count? I mean, is it a percentage of it, or is it just data for us?
It's data for us.
My goodness.
So just to add a little bit to the context, I know how it was shared that we were have three progress monitoring for ELA and three progress monitoring for math. Here's the actuality. The first assessment that was given was not a progress monitoring. It was baseline data because it really captured the entire skills, year-long skills that the student is supposed to know for that grade level, right? So it's just baseline data for skills that students should know for that particular grade level. So if it hasn't been taught to the students yet, it will not capture any information. So that's baseline. The second one that will be coming out, that will be considered more of a progress monitoring because now you've got baseline data, right, and you've got the progress monitoring, so you can go and look at those skills that's been taught from inception to that point of when that second one is given. The third is not progress monitoring. The third will be a summative review of the accumulation of all the skills that the student have learned for that year and to see where there's at. So in actuality, that's a very good question. The only progress monitoring is the second. The first is baseline, the last is summative, and the middle is progress monitoring.
And I think what most people are concerned with, especially teachers, and especially when you look at all the additional drills we have to do, fire drills, safety drills, and all the different kinds of drills, and then there's field trips and absences, how much time, how much sustainable, let me word it, how much time is being taken out of teaching time that erodes sustainable time, because a lot of times you'll teach for 20 minutes and there's a code red or a hold, everything's on hold, or there's an early lunch or early release, and then you have another 25 minutes and something else comes up. So the sustainability of the retention of information, I think, is what a lot of us are very much concerned with, and I'm greatly appreciative of the reduction in time. And I think our next step in trying to addressing our learning gaps and being able to get one-on-one with the kids is how much sustainable time, continual time that we have with our students, because that's the only way they're going to get the information and be able to retain it. So I know we're caught between an eight ball and another eight ball, and it's. I hope our lobbyists are hearing us, because I'm such an advocate for learning on a continued basis. Because you have an introduction, you have details, you have, you know, talking, discussion with your students back and forth. You're checking for learning, and then you can, you know, teacher will go through the classroom, progress monitor, but if we don't have enough time for all of that, it goes right out the window and it becomes airspace. So that's my concern. And I know the district is trying to do as much as we can, but I just wanted to make sure. I think all of us sitting at the dais, including the superintendent, including the two of you, and everyone who works under you, are very concerned about that continual time of learning. So thank you. I'm sorry I addressed something that maybe just great.
No, I'm glad you did, because we have heard that. I mean, we are bound with what the information the state gives us, but we have definitely seen that on campuses.
Thank you. Mr. Persis.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, the first thing I thought about was, you know, who should we thank for doing all this and reducing the amount? I mean, we're not going to just let Julio get all the credit, right? I mean.
Well, I think he would take it, but
I don't know.
Actually, no, it was a team. There was a team effort. Dr. Turan came and spoke with all of our coordinators and assistant superintendents, and this is the result of several meetings.
All right, great. Well, excellent job. We used to do progress monitoring ourselves, right?
Right, that's correct. County.
And so now we're not doing that part of it. We're relying on the three, we have our three.
I just want to make sure, because I don't want there to be any confusion. We are not taking away the ability for teachers to use those chapter tests or end-of-the-week tests or the tests that they use to get the data that they need to make instructional decisions. Right. What we are doing is taking away the formality of that. We're embedding them in curriculum maps. We're not requiring the input into School City. And there's not that window of time.
Good.
There was.
Good, good, good. Because before we used to stop everything and say, everyone has to do this, whether you were ready to do it for it or not. All right, so that's good. And I hear what you're saying, Ms. Cuthbert, about, fire drills and all those kinds of things. And I remember, you know, as particularly principals know, when they're doing those fire drills and things, not to do them the same time of day every month, because you're affecting the same class every time. So spread it out. So it's, you know, it's only fair. But some of those things are really out of our control. When you have to call a code red, you got to call it, and whatever it is, you got to do. So I think principals are pretty well in tune to not disrupt the instructional day, if at all possible. And I am glad, Dr. B, that you did clarify what those three supposedly progress monitoring from the state test really are, and that last one is really a summative, just like the FSA test was, and that's the one that we're going to be graded on and students held accountable in the third grade, and the same things the way it used to be, but just a different time. The second, I'll call it the second progress monitoring time period. When is that? What time of year? Is it January or February? Because I'm just thinking Friday is the end of the first grading period, right? Our first grade period. And so I didn't know whether the second...
I've heard the time frame is around December, January.
I was looking at Charlene. The second progress monitoring, the dates for it?
So the January 9th, so it's after the winter break and all that stuff. Okay, all right. And then the third one, I guess, is in the spring, sometime like that. Okay.
Like the typical time that we
would. Yeah, okay. After spring break? After spring break? Yeah. Okay. Just trying to get the schedule in my head here. But again, just want to finish by saying just thanks to the committee for taking this seriously. It's something we've been hearing about for a long, 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 long time. And I'm glad now that we have cut back the formality while still giving teachers the options to give whatever assessments they feel are fit.
Thank you, Ms. Burnett.
Thank you. But when I read this over the weekend, I thought, oh, there's going to be a lot of happy people, so I hope that is true. But my question is more, is there some of the actual end users, the classroom teachers that are involved on the committee that helped develop this plan?
Classroom teachers are a part of the committees that help develop the actual assessments that we use, so these district assessments that we use. The calendar piece of it, and yes, they are, because they're, it's part of the curriculum mapping process now. So if you're talking about the district assessments, is that?
Yeah, okay. So yes.
Those, yes, they are part of the committee that reviews them, vets them, and then it's a continuous process. So they come together, our curriculum team writes the assessments, teachers view them, and then after we give them, we revisit them until they're perfected, which is every year.
And so they had a part in the numbers that we were going to be required.
We did not have a formal teacher committee.
No. That came. Okay. No. Right. And this is the first they're hearing of it too, then. So they haven't,
possibly.
They haven't, unless they looked on Board Docs over the weekend.
Right.
Okay. I was just wondering if you had heard any feedback from them yet, if this helped excite them, if it helped take something off their plate. I know that they wanted more instructional time. So, anyway.
Well, this was designed with that feedback in mind. So,
all right. Thank you.
I hope so.
Thank you. So my takeaway in layman's terms is, yay, we got rid of FSA, now we've added three.
Right.
Am I wrong? That's just layman's terms, so we'll just call it what it is. I am happy to see that we are under the 2%, but what I'd like to ask the superintendent is this a moving, breathing document? So we're going to get the data from the first assessment, which we haven't gotten back because that window just closed. Or we have gotten it back? No? No?
We have preliminary data.
Preliminary data. So will we adjust? Because it's great to say we cut it by 1,000%, but I am maybe a little bit leery, and again, I'm not education. No, that's not my background. But to see us go from a high percentage to a low percentage looks good on paper, but you also don't want to sacrifice your performance as a result of that. And so I recognize that these are the district, and I think this is where folks get confused. These are the ones that the district is saying we are going to do. If your child's teacher decides that it is in their best interest in their subject area to test your kid three times a week, then the teacher can still do that. But that is not one that is mandated by the school district. So these are only talking about the formal assessments that the school district is doing. Am I wrong, or is that accurate?
Yeah, you're correct. When we look at, really, assessment should be about what decision do I need to make and what data do I need to get to make that decision. So our schools are going to need to look at chapter tests. They're going to need to look at, did we teach this lesson? I mean, ideally, grade levels are meeting together in their PLCs, they're planning together, and they're talking about how am I going to know when students know this skill? And some of that is going to mean an assessment that is not a district, but what we're taking away is that putting it into School City, going to another platform, and having a very formal event where we look at.
Gotcha. So.
So let me share something, because all of you know I love teaching and learning. You made a very important point. The district is requiring, not the district, the state is requiring three: a baseline, a progress monitoring, and a summative. So we did not want to add anything more than that. But every good teacher understands and knows that the purpose of teaching is for learning. That's the purpose of teaching. So it's imperative, and good teachers know this, that check for understanding, if I'm responsible for teaching X, Y, Z skill, it's important that I know if my students are getting it. And that's that quick check for understanding, so that it can inform instruction on a continuous level. And that part is school-based. The autonomy is there at the school level between the principal, the leadership team, and the teachers to do so. But to your point, Chair Colon, we are monitoring our schools at the district level in an effort to support our schools. So if we're seeing any discrepancy, obviously we will zoom in and see what type of supports we can provide. And as Ms. Hazel has mentioned, our job is to course correct in a timely manner.
So rest assured that we will be monitoring and assisting our schools as needed, but we didn't want to add anything in addition to what the state is already requiring. But checking for understanding is that formative, ongoing review that should take place, and every good teacher knows that it's imperative to do so.
Great. Thank you. Any other discussion? I don't see anybody else's name on there. Superintendent, do you have a recommendation?
I do, Chair. I recommend approval of the 2022-2023 district uniform assessment calendar as required by state law.
Thank you. Do we have a motion?
Move approval.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Mr. Gomez, do we have any public participation cards on this topic? Okay. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay. Motion passes. Thank you so much. Next item on the agenda is interlocal agreement with Volusia County Sheriff's Office. Superintendent Balgobin.
Thank you, Chair Colon, board members. At this time, I would like to ask Mr. Kevin Pendley, our general counsel, to come forward. We also have in our audience our very own, the Sheriff Chitwood, an incredible partner with our school district. And joining him also is Chief Morgan. Is Captain Shivers here? Yes? Captain Shivers, come on up.
He's the handsome gentleman in the back.
He is the handsome gentleman in the back. And take it away, Mr. Pendley, team.
Yes. Let me have this mic real quick. Thank you, Dr. Balgobin, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Action item 1602 tonight requests the board's consideration of an interlocal agreement with the Volusia Sheriff's Office. I will note, joining me at the dais is Sheriff Chitwood, command staff, chief, and captain. They are appearing without counsel tonight by their own volition. So take it easy.
We're taking the fifth.
Don't do that, Sheriff. I say that because we have worked very closely with General Counsel for the Sheriff's Office, Peter McGlashan, who's not here tonight. But and I appreciate the chair earlier recognizing that documents are living and breathing items, and we have been working very closely to bring you a draft of a contract that you can consider tonight. But we understand that there are items in here that you may want to fine-tune. So what this interlocal agreement does, as you know, we lost to resignation Chief Newman some months ago. Entering this local interlocal agreement would replace that position as chief with a school safety specialist who would be an employee of the Sheriff's Department, Sheriff's Office. They would have that command and control structure and liaison between the school board and the Sheriff's Office to provide school safety, to communicate and respond in any necessary events. The structure of this contract details the relationship between the board and the Sheriff's Office to essentially reimburse the Sheriff's Department for the salary of the chief or captain in this case. It would allow us to enter into a interview process for the appointment of that position between the superintendent and the sheriff. The other particulars are detailed there. We've gone back and forth on a couple of numbers, but essentially it's an economic impact of roughly $90,000 in salary. The sheriff would also be providing a lieutenant at the sheriff's office costs. We would be providing office space at our costs. I know that that was an issue between the parties. So the other item to be determined by the board is the term of the agreement. We propose that it begin January through June of next year, 2023. But, of course, at the board's discretion and pleasure, we're happy to change those dates and with the sheriff's cooperation as well. With that, I'll turn it over to the sheriff if you want to make comments.
I'll be short and sweet. We believe that the Seminole model, what they do in Seminole, is basically what we're cutting and pasting here. There's obviously some differences there. We think the strengths of it is having a captain embedded in with the superintendent and her cabinet will help bring resources faster and quicker to issues. You know, the guardians will still be operated the way they operate now. It's just that that school safety position will be held by a sworn police officer who has the full access to all the resources in the sheriff's office.
Thank you. Board, does anyone have any questions? Mr. Persis.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Sheriff, everyone, for being here. We appreciate you guys and everything that you do to support our Volusia County schools and our students and our staff. You recall last month, Chairman Colon, Superintendent, we at the coalition meeting, we had a presentation from the Seminole County folks, and I believe, Sheriff, you were in on the call, too. One of the things that intrigued me was the captain there said that by having the sheriff's law enforcement folks at our schools, that since they were in touch with what's happening in the community on the weekends, let's say, or what happened the previous night, that they're able to bring that information in to inform our guardians and everybody at our schools that would not know that, of course, because, you know, that's not their jobs. Can you speak to that a little bit, Sheriff, how you think that could help us?
I think it plays right into with our juvenile assessment center that's opening up here in another couple weeks, to which the school board is playing a very valuable role in that in providing social workers there. So it'll be when those kids come in, whether they're arrested at 10 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday morning or they're arrested at 10 o'clock at night on a Tuesday night, we all together are going to know what that problem is, because every one of those kids that come into that assessment center is assessed head to toe for mental health and for drug dependency along with their families. And I think that, you know, to use that phrase, it takes a village to do this. Having us all together can probably solve or cut off at the pass some of the problems that we see.
And that's the part I think I like the most, that we could prevent something, you know, before it happens. And not only prevent in terms of violence or threats at the school, but also to give that student the help that individual student needs.
Yeah, one of the things that we watch, and I saw this firsthand with the 12-year-old and the 14-year-old that opened fire on us, is a kid gets into the system. And they're in trouble in school, they're in trouble out of school, and it takes them months before anybody really takes a full frontal attack on what the problem is. So they get arrested three or four times and are committing an arson, and they have yet to be examined. They've been in school, they've created problems in the community. We're hopeful, like I said, it's not a panacea, but we're hopeful we are going to cut off some of this stuff, and we're excited about the partnership with the new superintendent, and the fact that, you know, politically, I think there's a lot of eyes on us out of Tallahassee right now. I know the secretary of DJJ, DCF, they're all watching what we're doing, because this is a model program, really, what we're trying to do here, and we're hopeful that there'll be some funding coming our way to help with this, you know, this horrific issue that we have with some of these kids with mental health and substance abuse. You know, we just seized, I can't think of the name of the show, it's MDA, it looks like a chewable character that the kids are, you know, that they all watch, and they, you know, we just saw rainbow fentanyl and Legos that we just saw. We just confiscated a pill press that makes pills look like they're Adderall or other kind of pills that are floating in our communities, and we need to really do the best we can do for our kids.
Sheriff, now that the Seminole model, I mean, they have been doing this for quite some time. What do you see we're doing here to make it even better? I mean, how are we tweaking it to fit Volusia County?
The difference, good.
I think we in a sheriff's office, the sheriff's vision of the sheriff's office is we try to put everything on one pane, right? So all our technology with Fusus runs on one pane. It means it's all connected. What we're doing with this thing with the guardians, but Seminole does not have guardians. So we're going to have the city agencies, the guardians, everybody's going to be under one pane. When it comes to training, when it comes to everything all around schools, all security schools, it's going to be in one place, housed in one place, which is going to mean information will flow back and forth faster. So I see that as one of the biggest benefits to what we're doing here today.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Cuthbert.
Good afternoon. Good evening, gentlemen. Thank you for coming. It's always nice to have tall men in green with us.
Yeah. About white.
Talk about your uniform.
It's not aliens. Or
well,
something.
No. I'm looking at Volusia County Sheriff's uniforms. I'm going to go from a different I'm going to look at our agreement and just making a comment because I'd like your reassurance. I'm looking at our Roman numeral 1, number 3, and there's all kinds of letters. So I'm looking at that second page.
This one of those end the chapter tests that you guys just discussed.
No, sir. No, I just want confirmation and just your public, I guess, admission that this is the way it's going to work. Because we are a school system. Okay, C, D, and E, there's maintain, amend as necessary emergency preparedness plans. And I know you're going to be in part of drills. Be ever mindful of our school calendar. Okay, because we wouldn't want one of those drills to be taking place during one of our big assessments.
Yes, ma'am. That would be through the schools, too. The schools will have a big part on when we plan the drills. It doesn't matter when. It's the principal come to us.
Michelle already had a schedule laid out, and we're going to. There's a lot of stuff that Michelle had put in place. We're just going to plagiarize it and stick it right into where it's headed.
We're going to put our names on it, though.
Look at all the good news you're giving us. That's great.
I guess to plagiarize in front of a school board probably wasn't a good thing to say.
Okay.
Enough for that.
Okay, and also in E, it says maintain emergency preparedness teams within each school. I know we have designated teams already established as a district-level team to assist in facilitating the delivery of communication and other needs and response. Also be very mindful of union contracts of our, you know, the teachers have to, you know, we all have to work within certain hours and contract within our union when we negotiate with our unions. Okay, on the next page. I love letter G, that you collaborate with our school resource officer program and school board security coordinator, Ms. Burke, right here to your left. I think they are, and our directors of safety, and as well as our guardians, they're your eyes and ears. They're your number one resource. So what Mr. Persa said, how you bring knowledge of the community, we can bring you knowledge of the schools until you become acclimated and become at one with us.
Now, remember, we train them, so we have a very good relationship with every single one of your guardians, and
That's
some of
right.
them work for us.
See, and if I hadn't brought that up, people wouldn't have known that. All right. Okay.
Ms. Cuthbert,
sir.
If I might, let me just remind the board that we do have a current interlocal agreement with the sheriff's office to provide for training for guardians, and that does not change.
Oh, good.
Those responsibilities are just subsumed within the contract, but that is a separate agreement that the training will remain.
Yeah. I know we as a board and our district personnel are very proud of our guardians because they have become such an integral part of our students. You know, they look up to them. They're leaders. They're tall people who represent safety and security and acceptance. And I know you all will, too. I do have one question. It says in letter M, provide and oversee security for requested school-related extracurricular events. I notice we are negotiating with you on a salary. Well, is this included in the salary? Is the captain going to charge us extra for that?
No, the captain's salary, it's salary.
Okay.
Just like me, I don't get overtime. The sheriff wants me for 20 hours. It's 20 hours it is.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
I won't even go down that road.
I tried.
And our schools do have those agreements for extracurricular event coverage for law enforcement. Not all of them are sheriff's department. Some of them are with other local
yes.
law enforcement agencies.
Yeah, like the city of Daytona and city of DeLand.
Right.
Okay. Thank you. And the last one is number 5, and it's found on our page number 5. And I'm very grateful that this paragraph was put into the agreement. Assure that the Volusia County Public School Safety and Security Director uses any information can be accessible to him or her by the school board pursuant to this agreement only for the purposes for which the disclosure was made. The sheriff acknowledges and agrees that school safety and security director will have access to personally identifiable information and educational records pursuant to Florida Statute 1002.221, and the federal regulations issued pursuant thereto, the school and safety director shall not disclose to any other party, including the sheriff, unless authorized by law. What stays in Volusia County Schools stays in Volusia County Schools, and we are very grateful that we must always protect our students' privacy. And when they're arrested, that's a whole different ballgame because that becomes in your arena. However, you will probably be gaining information on some of our students, and we're not allowed to gossip about our kids, and I'm sure you won't either because you're the consummate professionals, and we certainly do appreciate all that you do.
Our job is to be part of, not apart from, what your mission is.
That's, see, look at the opportunity I just gave you there, too.
It's almost like we rehearsed this.
Yes.
And we didn't.
No, we didn't.
So, we do have existing interlocal agreements, and this language was specifically lifted from those interlocal cooperative agreements. This is not something new. The sheriff's office and the schools have been following this in all respects and in other arenas as well for some time.
That's good, and I'm looking forward, if we do vote for this, I'm looking forward to working with you. We've been working together for a long time, and I'm sure Ms. Burke will be, and all of her directors and all of our guardians will be, even our other city SROs are going to be wonderful partners with you, because we're all here for the safety and security of our kids.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Burnett.
Thank you. So Ms. Cuthbert basically asked what I was going to point out, and that was the privacy and that we make sure we maintain that. And I'm reassured that that's even in the contract. And then I kind of wanted to ask a question. You've really already addressed it, but that this is going to improve the safety and quicker security of our schools if there's any event that we see that we need to address.
What you're doing is you're and this may happen in this legislative session where that position that we're talking about tonight may be a sworn member of every sheriff's command staff in the state of Florida. I know that's something that may be coming our way.
Okay.
You're putting a sworn person who has at their fingertips all of the resources of the sheriff's office. We have worked really hard to come up with a countywide response plan for everybody. Doesn't matter if it happens in Daytona, that same plan is going to be used in DeLand, that same plan will be used in Pearson, so that everybody knows, no matter what color of the uniform is or shape of the badge, these are what your responsibilities are and what you have to do. So we're in the process of doing that, and the same thing with the SROs, making sure the SROs and that the guardians all receive the same exact training. So there is no question, God forbid, if something happens, what needs to be done.
Right. Well, thank you. And you mentioned this earlier, but I mean, we do have children that do the wrong thing, but hopefully we can guide them with some early interventions to get them on the right path. I think that's still our goal.
That's what our goal with our assessment center is. Even if a kid gets a civil citation, we are getting everybody assessed because that's the first step to where maybe we can interject and stop what's about to happen later on down the road.
Get them on the right trend.
Yes,
thank
ma'am.
You. Thank you.
Thank you. And Sheriff Chitwood and team, I want to thank you. I know we've gone back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And, you know, what came before us here today is the result of hard work, of understanding the differences between the work that we do and the work that you do. And seeing this come into fruition is actually something I've personally wanted to see for a while because I wanted to see us get out of the law enforcement business and stick to the education business and allow folks who are in the law enforcement business to be a part of the law enforcement business. And I know I just said something that sounded like it was in a circle. However,
as state mandates are coming together and municipalities and policing agencies are required to work together, we started to see, even locally here in our school district, that maybe we weren't speaking the same language as the municipalities or the groups that were already meeting. And so, as a result of where we are today, given the circumstances, I'm proud of this work, and I'm actually personally glad to see that we are considering this, because I do believe this is a good model. I'll echo what I said when we met, and I've said it several times. You know, I think the most important thing is ensuring that we have the right person, and I'm grateful for the language in here that speaks to ensuring that we are able to select the right person in order to ensure that we find a person who can balance the nature of your business, and I'd like to say there's still an innocence in our business, and find that balance. And that's not easy to do.
It's just like the school guardians or the SROs. Not everybody's cut out for that. And we fully understand that this position is the same exact way, that there are people in the organization, while they are great operationally, they are terrible communicators and are terrible to get along with. And that's not what our goal here is. Our goal is to put somebody in that is going to make us all proud.
Absolutely. And so I am grateful for that. Mr. Persis.
Yeah, just real quick, Mr. Chair. I just can't let the opportunity pass since you all are here. I know every police agency in the country took a step to review what happened in Uvalde. And so can you just quickly say if there was a shooter at school XYZ, who is the command? Who takes, you know, who is the person that the other law enforcement officers look to decide what the next steps are?
First person through the door, regardless of rank or assignment, is the one who's in charge until somebody of higher rank would come and relieve them. So an incident's going to be over in minutes. That first person through the door, and that's the way we train, they're making all the operational decisions because they're on their boots on the ground. They're setting up a perimeter. They're telling you where the gunshots are coming from. You know, they're having access to all of the technology that we have. So that first person is the one that's going to make those critical decisions, because you can't have that person go in and be hamstrung, getting on the air and asking permission, can I shoot? That's not how we train at all. None of us train that way.
Okay, and so that's the training that everyone has in Volusia County.
We normally do it every other year, but since Uvalde, we went back and trained the entire organization this summer with the help of getting into all the schools.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the folks who work in 3 North, they would go to Champion Elementary in Ormond and where you're assigned is where you went. Because it's not necessarily a SWAT team that's going to respond. It's going to be that patrol officer. They all have long guns, keys. We talked about the keys, some of the things that we saw that needed to be corrected. Shields. They have shields. They have pry bars. We are extremely well-equipped in Volusia County. I mean, that has been going on since Bob Vogel was the sheriff. We have really good equipment, and that has stayed that way.
Yeah. So thank you.
You just pray to God that it's never going to be us.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Anybody else have anything?
Mr. Chair, I do have a question.
Yes, please.
The term of the contract. I know the sheriff, when we met earlier, was ready to go the next week. But we're going to need some time to plan this out. But before January 1st, is there a thought from the board, direction that you can give for the term of the agreement?
So I'd say as soon as possible. I think the important thing to me is that we decide when we want to revisit it. Is it a June 30th? Because that just seems where a lot of our contractual stuff ends, on June 30th. Any good plan is a 3-year plan, in my opinion. I think there's enough outs on here that if we needed to say this isn't working, which I'm of all confidence that it can, and we want to go back to having a chief as we did before, there's enough outs on here with proper notice to do that. But I also understand, you know, that it takes time. You know, we're
you'd be taking over that command structure, and you know, we're learning guardians, we're learning how this is all going to work. Well, what do you suggest? I mean, I don't.
If November 15th works, the sheriff can make that happen.
I have a suggestion.
Yes, ma'am.
November 15th is right before Thanksgiving. December is usually a very short month, maybe 2-3 weeks before kids come in. How about right after Thanksgiving?
Whatever the board suggests, we're amenable to that.
Yeah.
Whatever works for you guys.
And that way, it's holiday time. It's, everybody is kind of ready, but it gives you like a little test program. You know, test a couple of weeks, and then you have Christmas. We're off 2.5 weeks at Christmas time. You can reassess. You can talk to each other, see what worked, what didn't work. And then we can go. January is going to be a long month. So if that's okay, what is that, November? Is that November 28th? And that's also our organizational morning where we're going to start with a new board that morning. So that would be a good time to start, November 28th.
So I'm confused because we'd be approving this contract tonight and starting as soon as possible. No, that's what I understood by this, because this is the actual contract. So we'd be approving this tonight, and however long it takes you to start the process, there is a process of interviewing and all of that. And so my understanding is once we approve this tonight, that then the district will now start working with the sheriff's office to get going. My fear with a pause is the pause itself.
Okay, I'm just concerned about getting everybody in place. And getting the office space.
Once you do the interview, that person will be ready. We'll be ready to rock and roll, okay. And it'll be that person's chance to learn from the current guardians, the guardian administration, how things work, what's set up. We've contacted other sheriffs to get a list of what their responsibilities are, so that person's already been briefed and knows these are all the reports that are due. These are the due dates. That's the purpose of bringing the lieutenant over, is to have somebody that's making sure nothing falls through the cracks with the state reporting systems.
Yeah. So is the district ready with office space, and is the structure set up? Do you have people? We don't even know who's going to be the captain and the lieutenant.
Right, that's what they have to figure out.
Well, that's why I'm saying you have until November 28th.
We have somebody right now that's ready to be interviewed.
Oh, okay.
I mean, as a matter of fact, when you take a break, we can interview him right now.
There's a process.
I didn't say hi, Green. The men in green.
I mean, again, that was my understanding. So if it's any different, and I just want to be clear, once we approve this, the district will start working with the sheriff's department and figure all of that part out. I don't know that any of that has to come back to us. There's no reason that's between the district then.
That's how I understood it.
Oh, I understood it. Okay.
Yeah. I'm in favor of as soon as possible.
Agreed.
If they could start Monday, I'd say start Monday. I don't care about Thanksgiving break or any of that. I want – this is where we need to be, and why push it off. Let's get it going.
I agree. With that being said, Superintendent, do you have a recommendation?
I have a recommendation, Chair. I recommend that Volusia County Schools enter into an agreement with Volusia County, the Sheriff Office, to enhance the safety and security of our district.
Board, you've heard the recommendation of the Superintendent. Do we have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion has been properly made by Ms. Burnett, seconded by Mr. Persis. Any further discussion? Hearing none, I'll vote up, Ms. A public comment. We have no cards on this topic. No comment. No cards. Nope. I didn't think so. Very good. All right. Hearing that, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Motion passes.
Yay.
Thank
Congratulations
you.
And thank you.
Mr. Chair and Board, I do want to compliment the superintendent's team. They are phenomenal folks to work with. Really got an excellent team there. Unlike
thank
me,
you.
I have some heavy weight that I have.
Sometimes. And special thanks to Dr. Johnson. I've been working a lot with him. He pulled a lot of things together for us to get
he's a good guy
up on the road.
So. Yep. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, next item on the agenda, 17.01, public participation. We have one card, Ms. Elizabeth Albert. Hold on, we have to take a picture. I'm sorry.
I was going to say that, but I didn't know if it was appropriate. Yes. Can we take a picture, please?
It's looking like a CPIO.
It's like a wedding. Yeah. It's like a wedding right now. Here comes the groom. The little bride. And the father. Father of the bride. It's literally like a wedding. This is so unbelievable. Okay, here we go. Get closer. We like each other. We just look perfect. All right. One, two, I got it. It's good.
Thank you.
That father of the groom, the father of the groom is like Reuben. That's it. Bringing in the party.
Miss Elizabeth Albert, welcome. The union president.
Good evening, Chairman Colon, members of the board, Superintendent Dr. Balgobin, members of the audience. So, what a great night. So, I want to start by, first of all, thanking you for the comments that were made in the workshop earlier today regarding the impact fees. They were, I think, very appropriate, and I'm very happy to hear the disposition of some of the members of the board. So thank you very much for all that you said related to that topic. Also, another win tonight is the information on the reduction in testing. That is like finding a dollar in the dryer, right? It's a great surprise. It makes you smile. We're so happy about that. Very much appreciated, but I'm here tonight to ask you about the details. So what does that really mean as it translates down to the end users, which are the teachers and the students in the classroom? So part of the benefit of being my 20th year in Volusia County Schools is that you have some background knowledge to draw upon. And we have seen in prior times where we have had a pendulum swing, where we've had an extreme amount of testing and then the pendulum swung back to where we had none before. But the problem at that time, which I don't want us to repeat again, was that there wasn't really the details that translated to success in the classroom for teachers and students. So in this moment in the time, we have a second opportunity to get it right. And I was a little sad to learn, though, that there weren't any teachers included on that committee. I'm glad you asked that question, Ms. Burnett, because I think that's important. Because what we know as classroom teachers, and it's supported by the evidence from the PISA report, and for those that don't know what that means, that's the Program for International Student Assessment. What we've learned as we look at the countries that outscore us on that international assessment is that when those countries that are successful have equal planning time for teachers as they have face time with students delivering instruction. So what I'm asking you in this moment, as we've reduced testing and we're increasing learning time, I hope the very next best step after this great step tonight is that we walk down this pathway where we can provide our teachers planning time that translates in increased student achievement. We know that we have master teachers out there who can run with it. They are masters of their content, but we also know that we have new teachers, beginning career teachers, who need support. So we need to differentiate how we do it, but please, 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 as we walk this very good pathway, let's find a way to focus on planning time next so we can move the kids where we need them to be. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Albert. Next item, items from the board, superintendent, attorney, anyone. We'll start with Mr. Persis.
Okay. thank you, Mr. Chair. Great meeting this evening. I really love seeing the Deltona High School kids here. You know, they're so excited and so deserving of that recognition. And I know Mike McAuliffe is so proud too. So that I thought was awesome. I want to thank Dr. Balgobin, Rose Rowland, Jessica McIntyre for their participation in the coalition meeting. They presented our mental health plan and everything. And I know the the chair was present at the meeting. And I got to tell you, after the meeting, there must have been three or four districts that contacted me or contacted Dr. B, and that they said they want our presentation, they want more. I mean, it was, they did such an awesome job. So just wanted to thank them for doing that. I also wanted to thank Dr. B for, and I know it was said maybe once tonight, but when you're having those hurricane kind of events, and even it's not a one-day event, as we all know, there's the 3 or 4 days leading up and the 3 or 4 days after. And for a person like a superintendent or a Dr. Johnson and so a few others, I mean, it's 24/7. I mean, there's no downtime at all, because they are always on and there are people always asking them for information. So I just wanted to make sure that I expressed my personal thanks to you for doing that. That's kind of like the part of the job that nobody knows. And trust me, you're not getting paid extra for it. whereas other folks are, not so much the superintendent. So thank you, Mr. Parsons, for taking care of that. That's all I have, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Ms. Cuthbert?
Mine's going to be very short. I just also want to thank our transportation department, who transported a lot of the people from their homes to the Ocean Center, to the also to the centers, our hurricane shelters. It's also a way of us to say thank you for the half-cent sales tax. We do open up our schools for the elections, for the hurricane, for, you know, just for even the fact fairs. It's a lot of community events occur in our schools. We're not in our silos anymore, and we can tell by working with Volusia County Sheriff's Department, we are joining our community so much more. My husband worked at Deltona High School from 98 to about 04. And being part of the administration, I got to know a lot what was going on at Deltona. I visited there often to see what has occurred in the last 18 years. It's just night and day. The progress that administrators have made, teachers have made, coaches have made, is just astronomical. And I'm just using yours, you know, Deltona High School is just one example of so many of our schools in the county. The strides, the hard work, because we know for every hour a teacher puts in, it takes 3 hours of planning to put it forward. So I know all the work, when you see our kids perform, and we are now celebrating so much of it at the beginning of our board meetings, we know all the effort and the work that's going on behind the scenes. And so to see our county grow from this perspective, because I was always at a school perspective, a campus perspective, and in the 8 years that I've been on the board, to see it from a whole different perspective, to see it's just not what happens on campuses. It's what happens in transportation. It happens in operations and maintenance and technology and our legal department, our social-emotional health. So much of what is happening with Amanda Miles and ADA compliance. We have come, we've had great strides, great leaders. And without a great leader at the top, all the other great leaders cannot perform. So thank you for your leadership and all of those who work in our county, because one criticism I got when I first campaigned, 2014, what do you know about leadership? You're just a teacher. I got that comment a lot. The business community didn't realize, and a lot of people don't realize, anyone who walks into a classroom, I don't care if you're a para, you're an LPN, if you walk into a clinic, wherever you are, if you're a maintenance person going in to fix an HVAC system or one of our USBs to repair computers, we're all leaders. Because without that, I guess that leadership, that when kids see us, they see us do so much all the time. They see us pick up litter on our campuses. I mean, it's just little bitty things that we do, and it's all based in leadership. So I'm so glad we have the county we have, and the people we have who work for us and who work with us. So, like Mr. Davis and Food Being Brings Hope, it's a wonderful place to be. So, thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Pepper.
Thank you, Mr. Wolf.
Yes, I just wanted to let you know I'll be on vacation the last week of this month. We're taking our annual trip up to North Carolina. So my partner, Carol Yoon, will be attending the meeting on October 25th in my place.
Wonderful.
And
thank
that's,
you.
That's all I have.
Thank you so much, Ms. Burnett.
Enjoy your vacation. Thank you. And you say it's everybody working together, and it is. It's a true team. And by us going to Lee County, I think that's showing that we care about our neighbors. And I'm glad to hear that we're doing it. And it would be nice if this was the way we were all the time. And, you know, in the community everywhere, it would be a much nicer environment to be around. But you mentioned that it's 3 or 4 days before the hurricane, 3 or 4 after. Well, Dr. Johnson, it's more than that, isn't it? because as we know, we have a situation at some homes over in Mainland, the Mainland area that we're working on. And so it's that's a week out. And I don't think it's in any time soon, but we will take care of them. And I appreciate you guys, Dr. Johnson and Dr. B, for making sure that we know that those are our neighbors, too, and that they're important. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I do have a question for Dr. B. So can you – I know a lot of folks are listening in wondering where we are on the hurricane makeup days and all of that. And I know – can you give us an update on where we are and what that process would look like and when we should expect?
So that's a very good question, because just this past Friday around midday, we received an invite to have a conference call with our Commissioner of Education and his team. And in that conversation, obviously, they've been working with districts along, but one of the announcements that was made is that there will not be any waivers, per se, for the instructional minutes lost. So with that said, each district has to go back and reevaluate their instructional minutes, because there are guidelines about the 900 and 1,500 minutes in place. So we have been studying our minutes, looked at it, and looked at where we are in the year and how many days we have remaining of instructional days. And taking that all into consideration, I have a proposal that I will be sharing with Ms. Albert. I believe I have a meeting with Ms. Albert tomorrow. Our monthly meetings. So I'll be sharing with Ms. Albert that proposal tomorrow, and then if approved by both of our union members, it will be announced. Presidents, it will be announced.
Very good.
Right after.
Good.
So it's coming. It's coming shortly.
Do we have? And here's the other million-dollar question that folks have been asking: do we have options outside of using the week of Thanksgiving?
Right now, we do, Mr. Cologne. We do.
Okay. Very good. I won't ask you anymore. All right, Dr. B, and that's all the questions I had. Dr. B, you want to close us out?
Yeah, you know what? I can't finish the night without going back and echoing what many of you said. You're absolutely right, Ms. Burnett and Ms. Cuthbert, all of you board members. It's not just during the hurricane season, right? It's all the preparation before, during, and after. And there's so much that happens behind the stage, and basically you just get to see somewhat of a performance on stage, but the work and the rehearsal and the nitty-gritty and the analysis and all that's taking place, it's 24/7. But I couldn't be more proud in this team that we have here in Volusia County. Everyone has been so responsive. I can't even begin to tell you how many meetings we've had throughout the day and late even and early in the morning, just to let you know. With DOE alone, on a daily basis, there were about 5 to 6 individuals that in the morning, midday, and at night that we debriefed. 5 to 6, so you can start doing the math. That's DOE alone. Then with our superintendent groups, about 7 superintendents, we had throughout the day debriefs. With cabinet members, nonstop debriefs. With small groups of cabinet members, depending on whatever the topic is. So the team worked nonstop, because what you saw in the announcements that we made, some of the things that we've experienced, I will tell you that I talked to George Rackenwall regarding some of the flooding that we saw.
And I said, tell me about the receding, what you're seeing, and an approximation. He says, Dr. B, we've never experienced this before. Never. So we had to really look at all of those risk factors and look at our staff and what we had in place and made the best decision based on that. I'm proud to say that I'm glad that we made the decision when we made it and how we made it, because I'm thankful to God and to the entire team that it worked out and it panned out well for our students. So again, thank you to our staff members. Thank you to all of our parents for their patience, our community. And I don't want to start mentioning names, but we have so many doers in this county. So many doers, folks that were everywhere. I visit the Ocean Center. You wouldn't believe how many of our partners in education were there volunteering nonstop. So I am extremely, extremely proud of this community, because one thing for sure, when we're together, working together, we are much stronger. So to that, my hat's off to each and every one of you who are listening and who might hear of what I'm announcing here tonight. So with that said, also I want to give you a brief update. We have about 14 individuals at this point that will be deployed tomorrow to Lee County. So at 8:45... we will say farewell to the team, make sure they have their cots because they don't have hotels there. But they'll be going out to Lee County to help our neighbors there to get ready for their students Monday morning. So with that said, that's it, Chair and Board, and thank you again for your support throughout the whole process. You guys have been incredible. I wouldn't choose any team but you to do this work all over again with. Not that I'm asking for another hurricane. I want to make that clear.
That being said, ladies and gentlemen, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Ooh, I was with them.